At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. America's game. Earthvatic. America's game. South Harmony. South America's game. This is America's game. Now, South Harmony's everything will change. The change. That warp tool make you open your brain. Open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Remember the name. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. South Harmony intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 72. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And I am joined this week by Fizz. Fizz, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, what up, E? How you feeling, brother?
Same shit, different day, pretty much. Just finished up week 14, crazy Monday night game. It was good to see your Cowboys lose again.
Yeah, they almost tried to give it away and win, man. So I'm glad they gave it away and lost. That's exactly what we needed, bro. So thank you, man.
So now we're into the fantasy playoffs, man. It's week 15. Mm-hmm. Most of our leagues are starting the fantasy playoffs. So how did you do? Did you make a lot of your playoffs in your leagues? You got a lot of buys? What's your situation?
Yeah, my situation is kind of wild. But I will say, in a league that I'm like the best team, most points, this, that, and the third, I missed the I got like 400 more points than everybody else. And literally, I missed the bye week by 0.80. So I lost. I won my match, but the guys in second place, he won his match because of Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow last night. And he won by 0.80. So I missed the bye week in that one. I got like out of like 11 leagues, I got like 4 bye weeks and like 6 playoff teams. So 2 of them I'm tanking anyway, so I'm not mad. So I ain't not too bad.
So you made it at 6 out of 11.
Yeah. I think I want to say, yeah. And the other, at least 2 of the other ones I'm kind of tanking anyway, so I was kind of glad to lose. But yeah, I got a solid little win percentage this go around.
Nice. Excuse me. Yeah, 6 out of 11. That's pretty good. You know, that's more than 50%. So, yeah, you're doing pretty good there, man. Hopefully, you're able to pull off some W's there. Especially having those buys, man, is just so nice for the first week. I had a league where it's 30 man teams or 30 teams in the league, and I had to buy this week, and I was missing Lamar Jackson, so I was like, thank goodness I got I earned that.
Yeah, man.
So now going forward, the rest of the league, I got Lamar back. But yeah, thank God the buys are over. Start our playoffs now, and we can get going. I actually tallied up all my stuff earlier, so I'm in 67 total leagues between FFPC, MFL, Sleeper, my home leagues, all that good stuff. So I'm in 67 total leagues. Yeah, I made the playoffs. I made the playoffs in 47 of the 67.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty damn good, bro.
And I have 17 buys out of those 47.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So at least you get 1 week of a 67% headache and not a 99% headache. So. Right. That sound pretty good. That sound pretty good, brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I got 47 into the playoffs. I'm hoping I can at least get 20 to the finals. Uh-huh. I'm not even asking for 50% here. Like, if I can get 50%, I'd fucking love it. But if I could just get like 20 of those 47 to the finals, and have a shot to win some money, I'll be happy. So I think long as you get to the finals in most leagues, you get at least a decent payout. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, week 17 is just a crapshoot. Basically, is your lineup better than your opponent's lineup? And you see what happens. So, looking forward to that. Going to have to still grind here the next couple weeks here. But, yeah, we're almost done. And then we're going to get into the NFL playoffs, man. I'm excited for some NFL playoff football.
Yeah, man. Season went by quick, bro. Looked up. Next thing you knew, it was week 14, right? So, yeah. Time ain't waiting, man. So it's better enjoy it while we got it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, man, I'm just looking forward to the playoffs, and it's kind of crazy how the running backs have been this year, man. Like, the running backs are just carrying teams. Like, if you had Josh Jacobs this week or Montgomery or any of those, you know, guys that just really carried you this week, man, they've been a godsend this year. Barkley, like, if you have Barkley or Jamar Chase, like, either of those two have probably gotten you to your fantasy playoffs, at least a first-round bye.
Hey, don't forget Jordan Addison, baby. Jordan Addison put up them numbers too now. He put people in the playoffs this week. Puka Nacua, Josh Allen, of course, right? 6 touchdowns. Oh, yeah. If you got Josh Allen and you still lost your matchup, man, it's a good punch right there.
I have a story for that. So my Fantrax home league, the guy I was going against had Josh Allen, and I was down 13 points going into last night. But I had Jamar Chase, so.
Good luck, brother.
So in that league, with that scoring, he put up 62 points with Josh Allen, and still came out to beat him. So I got I like that.
Yeah, like that's how I said, man. Last night, I knew I was getting my first round bye back because the guy was down by so many points, and he had Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, and ended up winning by .80. And squeeze his way to keep that. So we praying for a score correction, stat correction on Thursday, maybe. But outside of that, it's cool, man. Congratulations to him.
So let me ask you, what do you like to do as far as trading goes now that we're into the playoffs? Is this kind of when you like to do a lot of your trading, or do you like to trade before the playoffs start so you can get those guys for a couple extra weeks into your lineups? Or now that you have all the information in front of you, you know who's in, who's out the playoffs, now you can target teams that are completely out of it. Maybe you get some better deals on top of it too. Is this the kind of time you're going ahead and looking for trades where trading's still available in your leagues?
It depends. Of course, it always depends on your circumstances and whether you're a winning team or losing team. But I can say this is the first year I've actually took a lose first approach. I usually just win now and figure the rest out later, but I just figure I switch it up this year. So I do have two leagues where I'm looking to move off of Adam Thielen, off of a hot game and, you know, guys like that. But I'm also in leagues where I'm looking to buy now. Now, I did probably about 2 weeks ago make a trade of Puka Nacua for Terry McLaurin in a second. So, I mean, McLaurin is putting up Puka numbers. So it's not like I can say I feel like I won that trade per se, but just the age gap of knowing what Puka is and where Terry is and knowing that Puka is still in pretty much the beginning of his career, I don't mind moving that Terry for a second. But if we was talking stat for stat, Terry is literally putting up 20-plus points almost a game now, and I think Puka is going to do it going forward. So, you got those similar moves like that, and then you also got the tear downs where, you know, you a top team, and let's just say you got a first-round pick that you don't care about because you plan on it being the 112, 111, 110, and you go out there and see who, you know, what you got, man. Hey, your team not good. You don't need this veteran player that, you know, it's not going to help you get your first-round pick, second-round pick, or first overall pick next year. So, you know, what you want for them, you know what I'm saying? So you got to really tap into the consolation round people, check out their roster, and just remind them, like, hey, bro, your team might need 2 or 3 years of building. Why don't you take my first this year and let me get that old veteran you got on your team, bro. So there's a lot of buy now players out there, and some people like Brees Hall, who people are down on right now, you might sneak and get a Brees out of nowhere, man. You never know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. There's couple of the injured guys that have been injured for a little bit here, or Breece Hall, like you just mentioned. George Pickens might be out here a couple of weeks. That could be a young guy that somebody could go get if they want, you know, a receiver that's playing now.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's definitely those opportunities. So when you did that Puka trade, did you get Puka or did you trade
McLaurin? I got Puka. I gave away McLaurin in a second. Yeah. Actually, it was McLaurin a second and a fourth. So I bet it big, but I needed Puka, bro. You know, that's my dog. Yeah. That's my guy.
Yeah, and so it's basically Puka in a second because that
pretty
fourth
much.
Is,
I ain't want to add the fourth, but yeah, pretty much.
The fourth in that case is what I like to call jerk-off hand material. So I make the fucking jerk-off motion with my hand. That's all that is.
Yeah, for sure. But I looked at it as McLaurin has Jaden Daniels, who is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now. But Puka with the age difference and him overstepping Cup probably in the next year or so, if not right now, I didn't look at it as a loss whatsoever. Plus, I'm a playoff team, so that second could probably be 208, 209, 210, 212, right? We're going to say 212 because I want to win a damn league. So let's say that pick is the 212 and a Terry McLaurin for Puka. I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah, well, Puka is over Cooper Kupp already, so that's easy. For sure. I saw your post on Twitter, I believe, on either Sunday or yesterday, about Puka being a first-round startup pick next year.
Sir.
I agree with you. I think he's a first-round startup pick next year. He's going to go after CeeDee Lamb, Chase, and Jefferson.
Gotcha.
You know, I think he might be one of the next guys, like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Puka. I'm probably taking Puka.
Yeah.
Everybody loved Marv.
I'm not going to lie, bro. Me and Mike had, I ain't going to say a discussion, but we kind of brought up, this is shows and shows and shows ago where we talked about Puka and Marv, and I think we was going through our rankings. And I told him, I said, bro, I'm taking Puka over Marv. And he said, I got Marv number four. I think it was, you know, Chase, Jefferson, CDE, whatever order, and Marv was four. And I had Puka over Marv. And I think Mike actually had Puka like number seven or eight. He had him behind some guys. And I said, man, oh no, brother. So now that we here in December and we seeing what he can do when he's healthy, I had him as the receiver two coming into this season. And I feel like if he wasn't healthy, he might have made me look like I was a genius. So unfortunately, he was hurt, but I'm banking my money on him, bro. And I took him over all the receivers in every league.
So I know you have CD number one. So you had Puka two over Chase and Jefferson?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I had CD number one, bro. Because I always said this. I said that every year we have a receiver that's number one, and the following year he doesn't hit number one.
Like,
he just falls off. So I was kind of in a debate between Jefferson and Chase. I'm not going to lie.
I had Jefferson or Chase in my rankings.
See, Chase was doing that holdout, so I kind of dropped him a little bit. A little nervous about him coming into the season, but I would say I had Jefferson probably. Nah, you know what? I take it back, E. I'm going to say I had Puka number one, and this is why. Coming into the season, I will admit, I took Puka over every receiver, every draft. I took him over Jefferson, took him over Chase. I even took him over CD. So I will be honest. I must have had him at number one if I took him over all them people, right? So, yeah.
He was I like Puka. I just never got him in any of my leagues, man. Like, I wasn't on him in the rookie drafts, unfortunately. And then he goes so damn high.
I would. Yeah, I snuck and got him in like five leagues. I even got him in a league where I got him for free. Nobody drafted him. So it was one of those, like, he just grew on me like, damn, you know how you find gold and you don't want to give it up no matter what, and you just value it so much. I think that's why I value Puka so much, because I got him when I probably shouldn't have, and now he blossomed into this big, great sculpture.
Superstar.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard for me to not root for the guy, man. Plus, he a cool dude, he seems. So I love me some Puka, man. That's my dog.
Yeah, so I agree with you, man. I think he's definitely top five. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I think there's a conversation of Neighbors and Marv Harrison Jr. now. Yeah, I think some people would probably take Neighbors over Marv. So Neighbors would be considered in that range too, just because of his youth.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys in that conversation, but Puka puts up the numbers that Jefferson and Chase and Lamb, these guys put up every week. I don't see why Puka shouldn't be up there. So I agree with you.
Yeah, and also, man, not to prolong this Puka conversation, but he just reminds you of a guy you want to root for. He just scrappy. He doesn't right. look like, you know, he's high price, high value. Like, he cares about being the richest man on the planet. He just look like he just want to play ball. And when they play him on the field, they got him playing all types of running the ball, outside, inside. He even blocks, right? He's not even scared to block for his running back. So you got to root for Puka, man. That's my guy right there.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead. Let's get into some college talk here. So, I mean, we kind of talked about the playoffs here, what we're thinking. You know, everyone's kind of got their own little process they got through. But I kind of want to talk about some of these college things. So we did have the 12 teams for the college football playoffs announced. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. What did you think of the 12 teams that actually got in?
Well, my number one thought is, thank God Alabama isn't in, right? So that was the number one thought. I'm tired of seeing them dudes, tired of seeing them get through the cracks and squeak by everybody when they probably shouldn't be in anyway. So that was the number one thing. My number one thing about this whole thing, about the whole bracket, is I know Texas is probably the strongest overall, but I don't know if I trust Texas to necessarily win it all either. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is one of the first years in a while where anybody can win. Like, I don't know if we can just key on, like, this team. Because usually you got the Georgias. Well, you know, Georgia, man, is they hard to beat. Alabama, they hard to beat. Maybe it's the NIL. I don't know. But it seemed like now a lot more teams. Well, one, this is the first time we had this many teams, too, right? So that could be it, too.
Yeah.
But I just think this year, man, this may be like a top five, but it's not a guaranteed win for any team, man. If we had a first round exit for one of those top guys because of, you know, the crowd noise or whatever the case, it wouldn't surprise me. So I think this is a year where it's kind of a little balanced as far as the competition goes, or should I say.
Right. So let's look at the matchups here real quick. So the first matchup that's going to happen is going to be on December 20th, and that's the only game on that day. It's a Friday. That's going to be Indiana going to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is a 7.5 favorite currently at home. So what do you think about that game, Indiana and Notre Dame?
Well, first of all, before I answer, who you got winning?
I think Notre Dame's going to win that one. But I think it's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I might take Indiana with the 7.5 there. Like, I think it could be like a 3-4 point game. Indiana's got a pretty good offense too, but Indiana's going to have to stop the run. Like, obviously with Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love, they're going to have to be able to stop the run. If they can stop the run, Riley Leonard hasn't been like the greatest throwing the ball. And plus Notre Dame doesn't really have any like stud receiving options or tight end options or anything like they've had in the past. So I think that's going to be the key to this game. If Indiana can stop the run a little bit, I think they have a chance to at least maybe go for the upset or at least keep it real close.
And that's literally where I was going at. I think they can keep it close, but I'm going to give it to Notre Dame on this one. Like you said, the run game, they play that gritty, scrappy, tough ball. You know, luck of the Irish, man. I don't know. But I think Notre Dame going to get this one, man. They might not – like you said, the taking the over-under might not be bad. I don't think it's going to be a blowout game whatsoever. But I do think it's going to be a close game. But I'm going to edge it out to Notre Dame, though.
Yeah, I'm interested to see Jeremiah Love in this one. I think he is a really good running back that I really like. 134 carries, only 949 yards, but he has 15 touchdowns on the year. Riley Leonard also has a bunch of rushing touchdowns, so I am curious to see how he goes up against Indiana. And then obviously with Indiana, you got Curtis Rourke and Justice Ellison and Elijah Surratt out there as well. So you got some really good players on Indiana side. I think that's going to be a pretty close game. And like you said, it's on a Friday. It's the only game in town that day. So I think that's going to be a pretty big game for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody likes seeing Notre Dame lose anyway, bro. So they're going to be rooting for them to lose. They, you know, people hate watching them win. So I'm sure that's a game that they would love to have on a Friday when nobody else is playing.
Yeah, I also think it's kind of interesting. So this first round games here, whoever is the home team is actually playing at the home game at their stadium. And then once we get to the second round where Boise, Arizona State, Oregon, Georgia are at, that's where the games are in determined locations already. So I think that's interesting that that first round you actually get an extra home game out of it. And I think that is going to actually, you know, help those teams obviously have your home crowd behind you.
Yeah, nah, for sure. That's actually a kind of a cheat code, but hey, you got to play good all season.
Yeah, because nobody else gets that advantage. Once you go into the second round, you know, Georgia's playing in – Georgia could have played in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, but they're not. They're going to Louisiana. They're at the Caesar Superdome. So it's kind of, you know, how that works out there. But, yeah, some of these teams are going to get home games. The next games up is going to be Saturday, December 21st, a game at noon, a game at 4, and a game at 8. So I might have to call off work that day. The first game up, though, is going to be SMU at Penn State, noon kickoff at Beaver Stadium there. Penn State currently a 9-point favorite at home. So what do you think about SMU and Penn State?
Yeah, man. You know, SMU just lost, man, the other day, so I'm glad they let them come on. Because everybody thought Alabama was going to get that last spot over SMU, and they was going to find a way to get them out. But thankfully, you know, they made it in. I still think, again, man, Penn State, it's almost easy to go for the higher-ranked team usually, but
right.
I don't know, man. Penn State is just
– Penn State showed me a lot against Oregon. Like, that's kind of the game where Penn State, you know, they always play Ohio State and lose. They lost again this year. But, you know, they play, like, these tough teams, and they can't, like – keep the score like close, or they lose by a couple touchdowns, or it's really not that close of a game. But I mean, they went toe to toe with Oregon there for a while, and they ran the fucking piss out of the ball on Oregon, and you know, almost got the upset there, and you know, just couldn't stop Oregon's offense. But I think Penn State wins this one. But it, like I said, I might take SMU with the points on this one. I think SMU might be able to keep it a little bit closer.
And that's the thing, right? I think that's what it comes down to, the points. Because I think a lot of these matchups, especially early, man, are going to be close games. But I think the points is what's really going to change how we look at certain teams. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout game here either. I think it's going to be tough. Like I said, I think every matchup they have right now, or all the teams they have right now, are close enough to keep each game going. None of those, you know, 57-7 blowout type of games whatsoever. But I just think Penn State, man, they're going to run that ball, man. They're going to play tough ball. Yeah. And they, like you said, they got the home field advantage, which I didn't even know. So, that's going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough right there.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State is just going to have to ride Singleton and Catron Allen, ride both of those guys. Warren, what a hell of a year. 88 catches, 1,062 yards from a tight end. In college football, like, that is crazy. I mean, obviously, Penn State's other receivers are complete dog shit. Like, I'd rather start you and Mike could be out there at receiver over, you know, probably be better than these guys. But, Tyler Warren, he's going to be one of the, he's probably going to be at least a first or second round pick in the upcoming draft. So it'd be nice to see him. Singleton can come out. Catron Allen, Drew Allar could come out. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see them. And then SMU side, I really like the running back, Breshard Smith. I had him in our C2C league, and I picked him up off of waivers, man. And what a season that guy had. I don't know if you've seen his stats, but 207. This is his first year starting. He usually was a wide receiver the first 3 years of his career, and then he kind of went over the running back this year. 217 carries, 1,270 yards, 14 touchdowns. Then he added 35 catches for 300 yards and another 4 touchdowns on the ground or in the receiving game. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can do up against a tougher defense in Penn State.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. I think – overall, bro, the game's going to come down to last quarter, who got the ball, control of the game. But that crowd, man, that home field advantage, bro, is really, really, really – I mean, it's going to be an upset at some point. We all know this. But I just think they made it a little tougher for a lot of teams to have you know, a blowout type of situation. Like, I'm looking at this bracket now, and it can go either way on any one of these teams' games coming up in this first round.
Next game up, Clemson and Texas. So that'll be at Texas Stadium there. Texas is a 11-point favorite currently, and I probably agree with that. I don't think Clemson is going to be able to keep up with Texas.
Yeah, how you feel about Clemson overall, bro?
They won the ACC, so they got to be in. They've kind of been dog shit all year, but they've kind of recently have gotten hot and started scoring a lot more. Obviously, they just beat SMU, but they lost to South Carolina by 3. Mm-hmm. That was a couple weeks ago. They beat Pitt. They beat Virginia Tech. Lost to Louisville. They lost to Georgia at the beginning of the year. I think a lot of people forget that game. They got smoked 34-3. They did beat the vaunted Florida State Seminoles, though. So that was good.
That wasn't easy. That wasn't hard to do, man. I mean, honestly, bro, for the last couple of years, Clemson then kind of fell off. So to see them where they are now is, you know, it's kind of wild. Kind of a good thing, I guess, for them, because I always say, man, ever since Trevor left, man, that Dabo don't know what he got going on over there. He was a lost soul.
Well, he also doesn't dabble into the transfer portal at all or any of that. He's loyal to his guys, which I give him credit for, but I guess in today's day and age, you're not going to be able to be successful with that.
Hey, I say this all the time, bro. There's no knock on a lot of coaches, but they're so stuck in being who they are, they don't want to advance with the game. And it's just like outside of football, right? Older people, when they say, I don't know how to work this technology, that's why they so lost, bro. You got to get with the times. And unfortunately, coaches, they so stubborn and stuck to their ways, they're going to live with that until the day they die. So,
yep. And I'm guessing you agree with me. Texas probably blows them out.
Definitely. My biggest thing that I want to see, I mean, not that his stat lines are ever really bad, but I want to see Ewers go out there, man, and dominate. Like, his stat lines might say that he dominates games, but you don't never leave that game thinking, man, this dude is a great quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He looks like a good quarterback, but I want to see him just dominate the ball and put a stamp of – Archie is behind me for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, they already calling for him to get replaced now. So that's more so what I want to see Ewers do this whole playoffs, not even just this game. I just want to see him dominate.
Yeah, like, I think we expect him to do it this game. It's when they go advance on, do they do it in the next game? You know,
We expect him to do it this game, but if he doesn't do it, then it's like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see him dominate Clemson the way he's supposed to dominate Clemson.
And I am assuming as the 5-seed Texas, they would play the 4-seed Arizona State if they win. So I think they could definitely beat Arizona State too. So, yeah, I mean, Quinn should have a couple of some nice games here. Next game up, though, the Ohio State and Tennessee. As an Ohio State fan, I wouldn't be shocked if this is the upset and Tennessee beats Ohio State.
Yeah, but I don't want to see it. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I wouldn't be surprised, but I want to see Ohio State win this game, man.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get their shit together. I mean, they have the most talent. It wouldn't shock me if Ohio State gets their shit together, runs the table, and wins the whole damn thing either. Like, that's a very good possibility.
As a fan of the game, I want to see Ohio State win this game. But I'm with you as they got to get it together if they're going to win this game. So, but as a fan and watching it and actually sitting at home saying, man, you know, Ohio State on again, bet. I mean, watch this. I really want to see Ohio State win this game, bro, to be honest with you.
Right. And they are 7.5-point favorites at home right now. So I would probably take Tennessee in the +7.5 there.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee going to play some tough defense, bro.
They're a good team.
Yeah, bro, they got an elite that defensive line, man, is tough. It ain't gonna be easy for Ohio State, bro. Not that we saying that it is, but I really believe that it's gonna come down to another close game, bro. Nail biters, I believe the whole playoff first round is gonna be nail biter games, other than maybe Texas and Clemson. But Tennessee, Ohio State, SMU, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, bro, they can literally all finish with a field goal slash touchdown type of finish the whole way through.
So let's assume the favorites win those games, and we'll just kind of just touch on these other teams real quick, these other games, hypothetically. So if Texas wins as the 5 seed, they would go play number 4, Arizona State. I think we both probably agree Texas wins that game, even though Arizona State's been fun to watch.
I was about to say, well, you know they got the Heisman Trophy running back over there, Ohio State, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
Scadavo, dude, he was a beast on the other game, the championship game.
Hey, he said he the Heisman, man. So, hey, let him do his thing. But, Texas should win that one, though. They should.
All right. So, if number 6 Penn State wins, they would play number 3 Boise State. That would be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I want to see a reason why I want to see that. I want to see Genty against his defense. I want to see how he does against a defense like Penn State.
Yeah, because Penn State has a ton of options on defense too. Yep.
Yeah, that's the matchup I would prefer to see because I want to see Genty versus this defense. So.
Yep. And then number 2, Georgia would play Notre Dame. If Notre Dame wins their game, I don't know if Carson Beck's even going to play then. We'll see if he's healthy by then. Yeah. This game is scheduled for Wednesday, January 1st. So, Carson Beck has a little less than a month to get ready for that game.
Yeah, I don't think Beck plays, to be honest with you, bro.
And Gunnar Stockton, he was good for dump offs and stuff, and they ran the ball really well. But I think that's what they're going to have to do. It's not going to be throwing the ball down the field.
ETN will be getting his name called the entire game, bro.
Frazier did good. And then the tight ends, Lucky and Delp and Yurisek, those guys are going to have to be like the main receiving options there.
But I say this, though. If we're talking upset alert, this could be one. Notre Dame versus Georgia. If I had to give a second round upset, because of the quarterback situation, you just don't know what's going to happen with it. So
true. I think I would maybe take Notre Dame in the points, but I think Georgia probably wins just because I think their defense should be able to beat up.
It is the Bulldogs, bro. So
Number 1 Oregon would play rematch with the Ohio State.
Okay, now
that'll
I take it back.
Be a game.
This could have been the upset is what I meant. What I should have been saying, right? I don't think Oregon is really. I think they nice, bro, but I don't think that they're that elite. Like I think Ohio State.
They just gave up whatever 44 points or whatever it was to Penn State. But Ohio State, man, only lost to them by 1. I don't know. I think Ohio State can beat them.
That's what I'm saying. I think if we're talking upset alert, I was tripping with the Notre Dame of Georgia, but this is the one right here. Ohio State and Oregon, I believe that this could be the upset if we're talking rankings wise. Yeah, Ohio State can definitely beat Oregon.
So if you had to pick, who do you think is going to be in the final? Who's going to be the team playing for the national championship?
I'm looking at the bracket now. I say this, the team that I want to go, Ohio State, on the other side. But you know what? I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to just say upset alert, bro. I'm going to go Ohio State because – roster for roster, I believe Texas had a better roster, but I'm just going on the upside of that Ohio State offense, man, and maybe them clicking a little bit more than what we expect them to do. So, now I keep it realistic. Texas going, and Texas then Georgia, man. It might be Texas and Georgia again. I know it's kind of cliche to say that, but
all right.
I might got to go Texas and Georgia, bro. Sorry.
I'm gonna go
make it easy for the people. But
I think I might go Georgia and Ohio State.
Okay. I mean, now I was gonna give you an upset one. I was definitely gonna put Ohio State, but I just think Texas.
I mean, I think Ohio State is, if they can get by Tennessee, I think they can beat Oregon, and then they gotta face whoever after that. So
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, they would face probably Georgia or, number 3 would be Boise State or Penn State. So, they'd face the winner of Georgia, Penn State, Boise State, probably, I'm guessing, Georgia. So that would be my guess, Ohio State, Georgia.
And that's a game I would love to see. So no love for Oregon at all?
I could see Oregon beating Ohio State too, but it would probably be Oregon and Georgia then. But I think Ohio State can beat Georgia or Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. Now I'm with you. I'm with you. If I had my way, I would say Ohio State and Georgia. But I think Texas going to get through it, man. Okay. Texas hot right now.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to do that, a little bit of playoff talk there for the college football. But I want to end on doing a PFF 2025 NFL mock draft. The new draft order is updated. So actually I do have it up. Let me pull it up here. We just had Jacksonville fuck everything up. Went from first to fifth. Nice job,
they, Jacksonville. They helped us out, actually, brother. So thank you, Jacksonville.
So right now, the current top 10 is Vegas, the New York Giants, New England, Carolina, Jacksonville, Tennessee, the New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, Chicago Bears, New Orleans Saints are the top 10. So I could definitely see the Saints probably falling a little bit more because Derek Carr is probably out the rest of the year. You know, the Cowboys will fuck around and get another win or two and move up. Yeah, so there's some interesting ones here, some interesting teams that can need a quarterback here. So,
yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead. Let's start this draft with the Las Vegas Raiders. If they have the number one overall pick here, they need a quarterback. You think they're probably going to go quarterback there, or do you think they would go Travis Hunter?
No, I think it should go all the way, bro. Yeah, I think with Tom Brady being there, that alone says Shador, because he was training him. I'm pretty sure Prime and him got a good relationship. And to be honest, Brady wants to see – now, he might only own like 1% of the team. I have no idea how much he actually owns. But I believe his knowledge and – his word is going to be talked through in those rooms on draft night, and they're going to listen to him, man. You the GOAT. Hey, what you think? And I'm going to go Shador because I'm going to coach him up on my own time and this, that. So I don't think it's no way possible that they pass on Shador, bro.
Yeah, I think if the Raiders do end up with the first overall pick, as soon as that those draft books open up to who's going to be the first overall pick, I'd probably put like $20-25 on Shador.
No doubt. I'm not even going to – if for some reason, I don't think the Giants would do it because they want a quarterback too. But if for some reason New England or the Panthers or the Jaguars end up with the number one pick, I think the Raiders would do whatever it takes to even trade up to the 101 and get their quarterback. I just don't see them not getting their quarterback. That's Shador Sanders this year. I don't see it.
Right. All right. Number two overall, you just mentioned, is the New York Giants.
Yeah.
There's Travis Hunter still there. Could they go defensive player, or could they go with the next best quarterback, who a lot of people think right now would be Cam Ward?
Cam Ward, man. They got to do it. You let go Daniel Jones. You ain't going out there with Danny DeVito, bro. Can't do it, man.
All right. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Shador and Cam Ward. I don't know if they're the two best players in the draft, but I think these teams are pretty needy. Number three is going to be New England. They need offensive line help. They need receivers to help Drake May.
Yeah.
There's a big rumor out there that if T. Higgins does get the free agency, that the Patriots are going to be making the big offer to him, and they got a shit ton of money to do it.
Yeah.
But I still think that wouldn't procure them from maybe taking Travis Hunter or Teteroa McMillan or an offensive lineman. But I think they would go Travis Hunter personally in this spot at number three.
And everybody say that, E. I'm going to be the Grinch on this one, bro. And I'm going to say they don't go Travis, and this is why. Now, I say this. They might wiggle that pick out there like, hey, if you want Travis, come on up. But I think I'm going to go off the old New England way, and that's not to make the splash play. Not saying Travis isn't the right pick for where he's going to be picked at three. I just think if they take him, I don't know if they're going to use him at receiver like we want to see him do, and I don't think they have the offensive skill capacity to play him on both sides and make it work. So me personally, I would hope they don't take Travis. Let's just say that. But if they do, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Well, but you're the guest, so we're going to go with your pick here. No, you're the guest. We're going to have you go with the pick. Who would you go at number three here for New England?
If I was New England, I would trade out of it. But if we got a pick, I would go Tet because he's a big weapon that you don't have on your offense. And I'm taking Tet, bro. I got to.
Okay. So you like him over Travis Hunter then? Interesting.
Only reason why I'm saying that is because they need a receiver, and I don't think that they're going to have Travis actually play the right spot at receiver and play cornerback. So I think if they took Travis, he's going to play more corner than receiver, and that's not what they need. They need a receiver. So okay. I just don't think they have the team knowledge to make Travis be who he's supposed to be, basically. So I would take Ted for them.
So what would you think of next year? We got T. Higgins, Teteroa McMillan on the outside, and DeMario Douglas in the slot. You still have Jalen Polk in there, too, if he ever becomes anything.
That means Drake May is a top 10 quarterback in Dynasty, bro.
All right, so we're going to select Tet there at number three. Number four, Carolina. I think if Travis Hunter fell this far, they slam dunk Travis Hunter.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yep. If not for anything else, to sell tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think Bryce Young has played well enough the last month or so to where they won't consider a quarterback?
I'm going to say this, Ian. I've been saying this for the last couple of days. I haven't really said it much online, but – and this don't have to do with Bryce Young, but it does, right? If you look at Deontay Johnson, when he was there, this team was a debacle. It was a joke, right? Bryce wasn't thinking right, wasn't looking good. Soon as Deontay Johnson left, now this team looks like they're real competitive. Deontay goes to the Ravens, and he can't even get a snap online on the offense, right? He's benched. He's getting suspended. Maybe it was Deontay Johnson in that locker room. Maybe it wasn't Bryce Young and the rest of his team. I'm not going to throw it all on Deontay, but I'm just saying since he's left, I haven't heard a lot of people bring this up about Deontay maybe being the problem, which we all know Pittsburgh usually draft receivers that end up becoming problems. So long story short, I think Bryce is cool. He's exactly where he wants, where they want him to be. And I love what Bryce can do, bro. I would buy Bryce right now off any team if I could. In our dynasty leagues.
Okay. Number five is Jacksonville. So their top needs, according to PFF, are guard, tackle, corner. And we have a couple of options here. They could go with a lot of people who they think may be the number one defensive player in the draft, Will Johnson from Michigan. Yeah. There's also Will Campbell, who can play tackle or guard, so fills both of their needs, and they can just fit him into wherever. A lot of people consider him like the – him or Kelvin Banks as the number one offensive lineman in the draft. Where would you go here for Jacksonville?
Well, especially if Chip Kelly is still there, which we haven't. I mean, I said Chip Kelly. Doug Peterson is still there, which we haven't heard him on the hot seat.
Yeah, I would say he's going to go. Cause I think that GM and that coach are gone.
This is the thing, though. I know the media and the fans say this, but I say this all the time. When has a Jacksonville Jaguars owner really stepped down? The only reason he fired Urban Meyer is because Urban Meyer fired himself, right?
Right.
Jacksonville has held on to coaches way too long every single time they hired a coach. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't fire Doug. I'm just not pressing the green light on it because their ownership doesn't seem to understand the game of football most times. It seems like they just got a cash cow and they just checking in on it. So I'm banking on Doug being there until I see that he's not there. I know as the media and the fans, we believe he should be gone, but I'm not banking on it because this ownership has never shown me that they are urgent of getting rid of bad coaching. So that being said, I'm going to go with Will Campbell because they need an O-line and that'll help Trevor for sure.
Yeah, so and he can play guard or tackle. I think a lot of people think he might have to move in the guard because he has like average arm length, so he might have to be a guard in the NFL.
Yeah,
maybe a little too high for a guard, but he is probably the best offensive lineman in the draft, and they definitely need some
help. That's what they need. Yep.
The Tennessee Titans. So their top needs are quarterback, receiver, and tackle. So they could go with Kelvin Banks here. I think that could be a good pick, especially with Bill Callahan being the offensive line coach. Like, if you want a young offensive lineman to help grow and mold, like, I want Bill Callahan teaching him. So that could definitely be a pick. They definitely could consider quarterback as well. Like, Will Levis has been shaky. He's been a little better recently, but
yeah.
Is there a quarterback worth taking this high? Is Jalen Milroe or Drew Allar? Like, everyone's down on Beck and Ewers and Nussmeier and all these guys. Like, I don't even know if there's another quarterback that might go in the first round now. Like, you know, we had been talking before that maybe there was three or four, but there might not be now.
Jalen Melrose might not even come out, bro. You might say, forget this. I need to boost my, you know, draft stock up. So this is a tough one. For the first round, number six overall pick, I don't think you can take one of these quarterbacks, bro. You better all sign a Sam Darnold for $40 million before you do that. I don't see a quarterback at the 106 for Tennessee right now, bro.
Okay. I mean, there really isn't a receiver. There's Luther Burden, but I think that's a little too high.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the elite pass rusher, Abdul Carter, who's really good. Mason Graham, Will Johnson. Like, Tennessee could definitely use corners, too, but you like Abdul Carter?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Tennessee way, man. Play some tough, scrappy defense. If you look at all their offensive, their offseason moves, they went all defense. So,
right?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, Abdul Carter, like elite pass rusher, you got to have that. So I can't argue with you there.
For sure.
The New York Jets, they are talking about changing out their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. They could get defensive line. They have Will Johnson fall into their lap here. Could you imagine Sauce Gardner and Will Johnson as your top two corners?
Yeah, who's the other corner? They got Reed, man.
Reed's a good player too,
bro. But Reed gets a pass interference like twice a game, bro. I don't know. Yeah.
Sauce and Will Johnson on the outside, eggplant material.
You know our old rule, bro, during the mock drafts, man. When they say Michigan on the helmet, it's a good player. So yeah. Will Johnson ain't a bad pick right there for them.
Is that who you would go with, Will Johnson?
Yeah. If I'm looking right now.
Don't see a quarterback worth taking here. Like, they could reach for one, but I just don't think it's a great pick.
I asked you this before you click on it. Do they keep Davante Adams?
No, I think he will be gone. I think Rodgers will be gone, and they just restart there with Brees and
maybe they get Burton. So do they go Luther Burton right here? Alan Lazard. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind them taking Luther Burton, bro. I feel like,
yeah,
the defense. I mean,
they drafted Corley, so they, you know, hopefully they can get in on Corley there.
Yeah,
I think personally, I think they would go Will Johnson, but
okay. I like that pick though. That's a good one.
Okay. The Cleveland Clowns are up next. I mean, I've seen some people say, oh, they need receiver. Yeah, they could use receiver, but they just gave Judy a bunch of money. Tillman has proven he can play. Elijah Moore is fine, so I don't think it's like a pressing need. Defensive line has always been a pressing need. Offensive line has been a pressing need. So
definitely.
For me here as a Browns fan, it's between Mason Graham from Michigan and Kelvin Banks. And I've just seen some negative stuff on Kelvin Banks. Like, I think, you know, he might be a little overrated. I think personally, and if in this spot, I think I just go with the best player who I think was going to be a disruptive force, and I'd go Mason Graham here.
Good pick. My pick was Kelvin Banks until you just said what you said. So let's go with the best player on the board then, Mason Graham.
Yeah, I think I think they have some tackles that can play. Like, they're not like elite, they're average. So they definitely need some help there, but maybe they can get it there in the second round or move up in the second round to get somebody there. Chicago Bears. So they need a guard. They need a tackle. They need interior defensive line. This would probably be a Kelvin Banks pick, I think, because he could play tackle or guard.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
Here's another interesting one to ask you. Do you think this could be an Ashton Jeanty spot?
I say it shouldn't be. I just say that.
The Bears, I don't think it should either, but they could do it.
Nah, I'm with you. I think, honestly, bro, when we go from, even if we skip the Bengals, and which, hey, it wouldn't be a bad pick to the Bengals either. If you think about Zach Moss was a wasted signing, and Chase Brown can't run this whole thing by itself for a full season, let's just say. To have Chase Brown and Ashton Jeanty wouldn't be bad in Cincinnati. So if you look at you know, the next maybe other than the Colts and Miami and the Falcons, man, no, man. Genty could go here, but I wouldn't want to see him go here, bro. Caleb is the most sacked quarterback in the league. He needs help bad, man. Keep your quarterback up, bro. Do the right thing, man.
So you go Calvin Banks here from Texas?
Yep.
All right, so we'll go with Calvin Banks here. Now up at number 10. I'm wondering
if the Cowboys are mad at that pick because, you know, they need O-line, and he a Texas boy, so I don't know.
Yeah. Next up here, 10, Bengals. Their needs are wide receiver, defensive line. So let's say that T. Higgins does leave in free agency. That leaves them with Ja'Marr Chase, Osavas, Jermaine Burton, who seems like he's a fucking head case. I think they probably are looking at wide receiver, and Luther Burden would be the top one that's available.
Bro, the way this defense looked, if they take anything else, if you think about their last couple drafts, they haven't taken the things that they needed other than Joe Burrow.
Well, they've taken some corners. They just haven't. They took in the Michigan guys. They took DJ Turner, and they took.
Well, I'm talking about the first round. I'm saying the first
round. I'm talking first round, too. Well, Turner was like the second, but they took the other Michigan guy, Daxton Hill, in the first round.
Yeah.
So they had him. He's been hurt, so.
They took Mims last year, so, yeah, I mean, I take it back. Well, I just say this. When they took Chase, we all thought that they should have took what's the O-lineman in Detroit right now?
Penei Sewell.
That's what we thought that they should have and probably was going to take that draft. But they didn't, and it took Chase, which it ended up working out. But I feel like the way this defensive line, or the defense is looking, I don't think that, because like you just said, they went high with two cornerbacks early. They got to address the D-line. The only way for your backfield to look good, you got to put pressure up front. And they got to go D-line, bro. I don't want to see them taking no receiver. Yoshi Vaz is cool. Burton is cool. They can go find another, you know, scraggler in free agency at receiver, bro. Now, if you lean as receiver, I ain't mad at you, but they need
I'm open to anything here. This is yours. So, I think the different guys here is Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Mykel Williams, who I really like from Georgia. I think I would probably lean Mykel Williams.
I was going to say, I'm a bet with the helmet on this one, bro. I'm going Mykel Williams, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's James Pierce, who a lot of people thought was going to be number one overall. He hasn't had, like, the spectacular year. But yeah, I would probably go Mykel Williams because I think he's gonna test like a freak.
they gotta put pressure on that defense, bro. That defense giving up 40 points a game right now.
Okay, so we'll go Mykel Williams there from Georgia to the Bengals. So at 11, the New Orleans Saints, they need defensive line, they need guards.
They need receivers too, which nobody want to talk about. But this is a receiver team right here.
Yeah, I mean, they have Shaheed and Olave, but yeah, behind that, there's really nothing. It's a lot of dumpster fire guys.
Shaheed got a major injury, and Olave, one more concussion, could retire and lead a game. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Hey, so you're leaning Luther Bird?
I'm leaning Luther because it's probably it's a new coach coming in. Now, if it's a defensive coach, that's the problem with the New Orleans Saints. It depends on the coach. If it's a defensive guy, he's going to go defense. But if it's an offensive guy, I'm taking a receiver, and then we'll figure it out, you know, the rest of the way.
Okay. Next up, number 12, the star, the Dallas Cowboys. The star. What do we got here? Talk to me, Cowboys fan. What do we got?
I have no clue, bro. This team needs a lot of things. If they could draft a heart, that would probably be the number one pick for me. But this Ashton Genty stuff, man, it's never going to happen. The Cowboys don't draft running backs, especially not high. If you look at the last class, they didn't even get Braylon Allen, who went in like the fourth round. They didn't touch now one running back there. Everybody kept saying Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks. They didn't go with none of those.
Hey, Rico's been playing fucking good.
No, but this is all I was about to get to. The reason why they don't draft running backs is because, one, they don't even run the ball, number one. But number two, Rico, to me, I've been saying this, E, mark it down, Rico is the RB1 of 2025 for the Cowboys, bro. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to address it. Now, if you get a fourth or fifth round guy, cool. But Ashton Genty, I said that to say, Ashton Genty is not a Dallas Cowboy. So let's just move past that conversation. But you got to go O-line, man. O-line for this team is a must.
I think linebacker too. Now Overshown just tore his ACL or whatever he did last night. Listen, he's fucked.
I don't know. I was gonna bring this up earlier, but I didn't want to change the topic. Overshown tore everything. MCL, ACL, PCL, ABC, yeah, he's 1, 2, 3, bro. I just read it was breaking news when you was talking earlier. He literally tore his whole leg off from what it sounded like. So he's
fucked.
He's done. So I'm with you though. I just know Dallas.
I mean,
the best
linebacker listed here is Jalen Walker, and he's not too far off. So, you know, they can't go too wrong with a Georgia linebacker. Eric Kendricks is already in his upper third, or, you know, 31, 32, whatever he is.
Yeah, and honestly, again, I think it's going to come down to coach, though. If we get a coach like a Robert Saleh type, not saying Robert Saleh is the guy, but I'm saying if it's a defensive guy.
Who do you think Belichick takes there?
Belichick gonna be in North Carolina, man, from what I've been hearing. So, and now if this Belichick, he gonna take Jalen Walker. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be, if it's a defensive coach, he gonna go defense. If it's an offensive coach, he gonna dress that O line. So, I'll let you call this one. I don't want to be biased. I'll let you call this
one. Jalen Milroe.
Come on, man.
I could see Malachi Starks too. It's not like their safeties are the greatest. Like Malik Hooker's been all right, but Malachi Starks is a really good talent too.
See, the Cowboys don't draft cornerbacks or safeties high no more, bro. Because
they whiff on all of them.
Yeah, and they always just pay a $2 safety in free agency. They do it every year.
Yeah.
And now I'm gonna say this: he probably not the pick right here, E. But man, I would love to see Mbuka in Dallas, bro. That's who I really want. Forget the O-line and D-line. Let's get Mbuka up in Dallas. I don't think they're going to take him at 12, though. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah, they might be a team that moves back. Man.
They can go a lot of different ways, bro.
Let's just go with Jalen Walker here. Because they're going to have a big need there at linebacker now.
Yeah.
So we'll go Jalen Walker from Georgia.
That's
Miami.
Cool.
Miami needs offensive line.
Oh, for sure.
Big
no
time.
Question.
I would probably put, from what I've read, probably this Arante Ursaray from tackle from Minnesota. He's a big fucking monster. So that's probably where I would lean because that's where they need some help there.
I'm with you on that one, brother.
Yeah, I think Miami's like a lock to draft an offensive lineman.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you.
Indianapolis, their top needs are tight end, linebacker, and safety. I think if Malachi Starks fell this far, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't address it last year. We thought, did he? Didn't they take a cornerback in the second round last year?
Yeah, they had that Julius Brents from 2 years ago, but he's been hurt all year.
Okay. Who was their number one pick? Because I was thinking, you know what? I'm thinking our mock
they took, draft. They took Latu last year.
Okay. Our UCLA mock draft. Edge rusher. It was our mock draft I'm thinking about. Because remember, we kept giving them Brock Bowers too, man. They still ain't addressed the time. I mean, they got 8,000 tight ends.
They use 9 of them. So what's the point of drafting a really good one? Yeah. Right. What's the point of drafting a really good one if they're just going to use fucking 15 of them? So yeah, I would say Malachi Starks here.
I'm going to go with that.
I think he's too good of a talent to pass up.
Yeah, I'll go with that, bro.
Atlanta Falcons, their top needs are defensive line and linebacker.
Defense. No matter. I don't care who you take on this one, E. As long as they play D-line and linebacker, they need to be
I mean,
taken.
They haven't had a pass rusher since fucking Jonathan Abram, so.
You want to know why? Because they took Michael Penix just to not playing. When they could have had Dallas Turner or Jerv Verse right there at the 108, bro.
Yeah.
So, I think if they took Dallas Turner right now, this team might even have 2 more wins.
No, I've heard some debate on Shamar Stewart. Or Nick Scorton. I think either or. But according to this, they have Nick Scorton higher. So let's just go with Nick Scorton for now. Cool. An edge rusher from Texas A&M. Number 16, the Arizona Cardinals. They need tackle, defensive interior, and linebacker. So a lot of those positions are pretty much eaten up already. You have Kenneth Grant from Michigan. He's an interior defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. I still think they could use some edge rushers. I think their corners aren't that great either. So like a Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, that could be a pick. I mean, their secondary receivers aren't that great. Could they go to Mecca Buka?
I'm about to say, I think Buda Baker probably be gone after this year. He was almost gone this year. So they might be in you know, looking
safety
at a
market.
Safety slash cornerback situation. I think they're going to address the linebacker position in free agency, though.
Yeah, that's probably a good spot for that because that's not where you draft it. I mean, I mean, they need a tackle, too. They could take Cameron Williams, who is kind of like a I don't want to say a project, but he's like a Mims from Georgia last year, kind of like that, where he's just a big ball of clay that they can mold into. Like he's super talented, but just doesn't have a ton of experience. You have Josh Simmons from Ohio State, but he's been out with an injury. Should be okay for training camp. But does a tackle like that go very high? Like, he probably would have went already, if not probably around this pick, if he didn't get hurt. You have Wyatt Mullum from West Virginia. I've seen a couple other tackles. Let me pull those up. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. That Yonah Savanea from Arizona. He's been another good one, too. So there is a couple tackles there. Is there anybody that's standing out to you?
I ain't going to lie to you. When we start getting to the big man, bro, I stick with the highest ranked guys most of the time. Okay. Bro. So,
okay. We can go with Josh Simmons. They've taken two Ohio State guys in back-to-back years, Marvin Harrison and Paris Campbell. So we could go Josh Simmons here.
Yeah, that's a good pick, man. I mean, okay.
Let's say he has a good rehab and all that, gets good clearance, so we could go there.
Yep.
They're obviously going to have a ton of tape on him.
Keep Kyler standing up, man. That's the goal.
Yep. San Francisco, they need guard, tackle, cornerback.
And running back, right?
I mean, they could be a Gen T team. It wouldn't shock me, but
I would hate it. I would hate it.
Bro. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame could be a pick. They could be the team that maybe takes Cameron Williams, maybe have him have Trent Williams still there for a year or two and Cameron Williams play on the right side and kind of learn. I think that could be a good pick.
Yeah, no, I actually like that pick because I forgot Trent Williams. Okay. Trent, and I know they re-signed him, but man, he's long in the tooth, man. He's about 37 years old right now, so.
You want to go Cameron Williams?
Yeah, I'm with that. Yep, lock that in, brother.
All right. Cameron Williams it is. 18, the L.A. Rams. They need tackle, linebacker, corner, according to this.
The Rams never take what I think they're going to take, bro. Never. Like, one, they don't even have first-round picks probably for the last 4 or 5 years. They took Verse last year. But they always a wild card to me on draft day, man. Always a wild card to me. I don't know who – I have no idea who to pick for them. I know who I probably would think the pick would be Benjamin. I'm with you. I saw you clicking. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. But, man, the Rams are such a wild card, bro. They mess around and take Mbuka right here and – just make him a star for no reason, bro.
Yeah. I mean, this Wyatt Mullum is pretty good, too. I mean, he's played 11 games this year, hasn't given up a sack, hasn't given up a hit to the quarterback, only 8 hurries he's given up this year. So
hey,
pretty
like
good
pick,
tackle
me.
Here. Yeah.
That sounds like
so it
pick,
could be
man.
Mullum or Morrison here. I mean,
I think I'm going to go Mullum, bro. You just said enough. No sacks allowed. Yeah, go ahead and bring him on, brother.
Okay. So we'll go with him. Tampa Bay, their needs listed here are tight end, which Kate Otten's been pretty decent this year, edge and corner. So pass rusher, I think, is really good, or they could go Benjamin Morrison. Their secondary has been pretty bad, so I probably would lean Benjamin Morrison.
Yeah. I got a guy, but I don't want to use him right now. So I would say Benjamin Morrison. Yep.
Okay. Washington, is this the Ashton Gentry team?
I think this is the Mbuka pick, bro.
You think this is a Buka? Okay.
And this, I mean, if you look at their receiving core, I believe they trust Brian Robinson right now. They got Austin Eckler for another year. I don't think they, I'm not saying that Jenty not going to fit in. He's going to fit wherever he goes, but you don't need another running back the way Brian Robinson playing, bro. But you need another receiver. Noah Brown is not a number two, and nobody else you have over there is a number two, bro. They getting Buka right here, man. I wouldn't mind seeing this.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing that at all.
All right, so we're going to go with.
Well, who was your pick, though? Who would you take if you had
I think him? I would take Jenty.
Okay.
I think Washington would be the team to kind of pull that trigger.
Well, I say this. If you look at the next, what? You got Washington, Chargers, Broncos.
I mean, Chargers could definitely. I think Chargers might run up.
So that's what I was just going to say. Before we submit this, where would he go if he don't go to Washington? So you,
I think it's one of these three teams, Washington, the Chargers, or the Broncos.
Me too. So if the Washington think if they really need him or they just don't want nobody else to have him, I'm with you. Let's just take him. Let's just get
all
him.
Right. So
go he definitely would go to the Chargers or the Broncos. I'm with you.
Yeah. So 20, Washington is Ashton Jenty. 21.
Yeah.
Broncos are back, or the Chargers are up. So they need tight end defensive linemen. So Colston Loveland is here, who Jim Harbaugh knows. He has Kenneth Grant as well. They need defensive line. So he knows him very well. I think it's one of these Michigan boys.
I was going to go Grant. Yep.
Okay. I mean, look at his numbers this year. Grade as at 83, 23 hurries, 3 sacks from the defensive line position. Yeah, pretty good players, can stop the run. I could see that being a big thing. So you're going with Grant, right?
Yep, that's my pick.
All right, Denver Broncos are up. Wide receiver, tight end, tackle, and interior defensive line is their needs right now. So this could be an Ibuka team. Could this be Colson Loveland or Tyler Warren? At the tight end spot. I know that's been a popular pick was the tight end here. I just don't know if Sean Payton would take a tight end in the first.
I think Sean Payton thinks that he can take any tight end later on and make them great. So I don't think he's going to take.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take the number one when he can maybe get the number four and still get the best production out of him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just kind of looking at, let's take a look at some of these interior defensive linemen. So, Walter Nolan, I've heard a little bit about 24 hurries from the defensive tackle position, with 6 sacks. That's pretty damn good. TJ Sanders from North Carolina, 5 sacks, 9 hits, 17 hurries from the defensive line position. So, I think either of those two guys could be really good. I know Dion Walker is another one, 17 hurries from that position that a lot of people think he could go pretty high too from Kentucky. And then obviously the wide receiver and tight end spots, all the tight ends are there. Ibuka's there. The other wide receivers out of there, Isaiah Bond, Alec Aminor from Stanford, Jack Beck, Restrepo, Trey Harris, who's gotten some love too. So there's some guys there.
I think this is an Ibuka pick for me, bro. I think Ibuka. If you look at Vele, he's been a solid pick, but he wasn't supposed to be what he is. He just end up being what he is. So they waited to take what's our boy from Oregon last year who's there on the team?
Troy Franklin.
They waited. We thought he was gonna go higher. They didn't take him, and now we see why.
I think another one for Denver, if they don't go receiver in the first, Tez Johnson from Oregon. I think Bo Nix's family adopted him or took him in or something. From the story that I remember. So okay. Tez Johnson was like really, really tight with Bo Nix. I could see Bo Nix putting in the word like, hey, I want to have Tez Johnson. Yeah, and I could see Sean Payton liking that kind of player.
And the way Bo playing, he deserves to have a guy that he want, right? So
right.
CJ Stroud asked for Tank Dell and he got him. So why can't Bo ask for his guy? So
right. So we'll stick here with the Buka though. Seattle at 23. They need a guard. They need a tackle. They need linebacker. I think another spot too, they could look at one of these tight ends, Loveland or Tyler Warren. It's not like Noah Fant has broken down the door. Pass rusher is always good. Shamar Stewart could be a good pick for them. So, there's definitely some guys here. James Pierce, He hasn't had the greatest season, but he could be somebody that's on there. I mean, he's had a good season. 40 fucking hurries. I mean, that's a lot. 8 sacks, 40 hurries. So you know this guy's getting to the ball. 89.6 pass rush grade. So yeah, I mean this guy's really good too.
Yeah, no, nah,
I mean honestly, I might go Pierce. Like after looking at that, I might go James Pierce.
I'm not gonna lie. Shamar Stewart was my pick, but I don't know, man. Pierce, that Pierce ain't too bad, bro.
Yeah, I think we go James Pierce.
Cool. I don't mind that.
James Pierce to Seattle. Baltimore's up. I think Budgie Baltimore would be pissed because that's probably a guy they would take. But Baltimore's always that team that there's always that player that shouldn't fall that falls right into their lap. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's one here, but they need guard, tackle, corner, and there's not really that one that's standing out here. But let's look at offensive tackles. That Jonah from Arizona, he's been really good this year. I think that could be a possibility. This Gray Zabel from North Dakota State has had a really good year. Obviously, it's against, you know, lesser competition. Let's take a look at the guard spots here, too. Let's see, offensive guards. So you have Tyler Booker, Tate Ratledge, who was really highly thought of, but he's been out all year with an injury. I know Tyler Booker. His stats aren't the greatest. Pass blocking is good, but his run blocking is not the greatest. Mm-hmm. And then corners, let's take a look at those two.
I was going to say, bro, to me, I guess depending on who's left, but they got to be looking at corner like right, like ASAP, because that defense is getting cooked up.
This guy from East Carolina has been really, really good this year too, Siobhan Revel. 87 coverage grade, 85.4 in zone. So this guy's been really good. He's only been targeted at 21 times and given up 8 receptions all year.
Mm.
And then Trey Amos from Ole Miss is another guy that's up here. So there's definitely some guys.
So I don't want to force the cornerback situation right now on them, but they need one. They need to address it this draft.
And then Jade Barron too from Texas. I mean, 90.9 coverage grade, 5 interceptions. Quarterbacks have a passing rating of 28 against him this year.
Yeah. So what you think? Yeah, I want to lean corner, but I don't want to force it because they can address it later.
I think they need corner too. I probably would go Barron or Revel. They usually like the big school guys, so I'd probably go Jade Barron.
I was going to go Barron over Revel, yep.
Okay, we'll go there. The Texans, they need running back, guard, and defensive line. They have Will Anderson and Hunter, so they're pretty decent there.
I think the O-line is probably more important than him right now.
Probably one of these interior guys, either Walter Nolan or TJ Sanders. But, 6 sacks and 24 hurries from the defensive line spot. 91.9 against the run. So I would probably go that guy, Walter Nolan, defensive lineman from Ole Miss would be my guy personally.
Okay. They do have, I don't know how many other picks. They do got 2 seconds. They got Minnesota. So they can kind of take their guy now and then have a little bit of fun in the second. So I'm with you on that.
Green Bay, they need tackle, defensive, interior defensive line, and corner. There's a couple defensive linemen that we talked about. The tackles, there was the North Dakota State guy that, you know, could be somebody that they look at, Gray Zabel. There's still a couple good edge rushers out here. Shamar Stewart, still really, really good pass rusher, 25 hurries too from that spot. Pretty good against the run as well. So I think that could be a guy they can consider too.
Well, the one thing we do know, they're not taking the receiver, right? They don't take receivers in the first round, so we don't got to worry about that.
And they're good at tight ends, so they don't need tight ends.
Yeah, the offense is pretty, other than line, they pretty solid on offense. They don't need anything, you know.
Yeah, I think I would lean probably Shamar Stewart or maybe Siobhan Revel, the corner, because they do need a corner too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Shimon fell a little bit. So it was between him or Rebel though, bro. I'm with you. Okay. All right, Shimon.
We'll go with Stewart. I think he's falling a little too far. Yep, Pittsburgh, yep. They need wide receiver, they need tackle, they need linebacker. So I don't think there's really a linebacker here. You could maybe go with the tackle because they could use some offensive line help still. Yeah. But wide receiver is interesting. Is there any of these wide receivers that you think they might take?
Who's available?
Sure. Let's pop that open. So we got Isaiah Bond. Oh, go ahead.
One thing I was just about to say, one thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers, bro, they'll take a receiver in the third or fourth round and make them George Pickens. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think they take receivers real high most times, even when they had the chance to, unfortunately. So I don't know, man. I see Jahi Campbell at the top.
Yeah, that's for the linebacker. So Campbell from Alabama.
Yeah.
He could be there. There's Chris Paul Jr., who's had a really good season, 90.3 grade, really good run stopper, good in coverage. So that could be a guy they could take, Chris Paul Jr.
So I'm going to say this. I know this is a dark horse conversation, but Russ doesn't have a contract. Fields in a one-year deal. Do they let Russ walk?
No, I think they're bringing Russ back.
I don't think so either, but I just wanted to bring the conversation up.
They could go with Savane from Arizona, the tackle. I've heard a lot about him, too, or that Gray Zabel, who I mentioned as well.
Yeah,
and Marcus and Bo, that's another guy that the draft community is really high on, too. Marcus and Bo, a tackle.
I would go tackle.
Okay. Well, we'll just go with their top guy then. We'll go with Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. We'll just go with their top guy that they have listed. Vikings, they could use running back, guard, and corner.
But they went and traded for Cam Akers, man. You know Cam Akers is dead, baby. You know what I'm saying? So let's move on.
Definitely could take Caleb Johnson here in the first. There's Hampton, there's Caleb Johnson. I think those two are considered close to the first round there. I think Quinshon Judkins too. So that is definitely somebody they can consider here. Would you consider a running back here for the Vikings, or do you think they go with one of the other spots?
Well, at picking at 28 is not a bad bet. If it was like 21, 20, you know, maybe a little different. But
and Revel is still there too from East Carolina, which I think could be a good spot.
I think O'Connell knows what he can do, man. So he don't have to reach for a running back in the first, and he can steal one in the second. So, matter of fact, they only have a second round pick though. So this could change things. They don't got a second. Yeah.
I think they probably would go with like an elite corner.
Okay. I mean, they can always re-up on Aaron Jones, right?
I mean, this guy's great and doing good, too. Darian Porter, 4.7 passer rating against him this year.
Okay.
4.7.
I think we're going to go Rebel, bro. We've been talking about him for a minute. Yeah. Let's go Rebel.
Buffalo's up next at 29. They need interior defensive line and linebacker. I think they definitely could go defense here.
100%.
So I think this T.J. Sanders, I mentioned him. Yeah, he's been pretty solid. That was 17 the first name hurries, at. 9 hits, 5 sacks. Let's go with him. LT Overton, too, from Alabama. He's a good edge rusher. But we'll go with Sanders here. Philadelphia Eagles here at number 30. They need edge and linebacker or a Georgia player. So I don't see any Georgia ones lining up here, so they might have to miss out on their Georgia guy this year. Here's an interesting one, because the Eagles, you know, they always take their luxury picks, or they get ahead of it by a year. No tight end has gone yet.
I was just about to say, bro, that was my
first. They go Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland.
I was going to bring up a tight end, bro. That was. If I had to give them a wild horse pick, a trophy pick, something just to do and figure out the rest, the defense is already elite. It's one of the best defense, if not the best in the league. Tight end would be the only other thing. Goddard stays hurt. They can move on from him soon. I don't mind tight end, bro.
All right. Let's go Tyler Warren, the tight end from
Penn State. I think if they get Tyler Warren, bro, they cheating again and doing what Philly do, man. Cheating.
We'll give them to there. Kansas City, they need running back, tight end, and tackle.
I don't see him going tight end, though.
Yeah, I think Noah Gray and the other kid that they got this past year, Jared Wiley, are fine. They definitely need some tackle help.
Yep.
I think that's probably where they would go, but I'm so tempted to give them a running back. But I think Jonah's still sitting here. I think they go Jonah.
Yeah, because I think they like Pacheco, and I don't think they want to take a first-round running back. Take one in the first round, man. You pretty much saying that Pacheco ain't your guy.
Yeah, I forgot about this guy. He was a little further down the list. This guy probably should have went a little earlier, but Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. I know Dane had him a lot higher and stuff, but I'm going to give them Connerly because he should have went a lot sooner than this. He's not as high on this PFF for whatever reason. Well, I'm going to go Connerly here from Oregon. Cool. 32, Detroit Lions, center, guard, edge. I mean, I think Colson Loveland could fall out of the first round. Obviously, he's going to fall out of the first. A lot of these running backs are going to fall out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a slot receiver could do them a little bit good because they could kind of play Amon-Ra there, but I don't know if Xavier Restrepo, who I think might be the best slot corner in this range, I don't know if he's worth it. Trey Harris is kind of the same thing as J-Mo a little bit. So I think they probably need an edge rusher. So I think like an LT Overton from Alabama.
Bro, that was my first pick that I looked at when you brought them up. That was literally my pick.
Yeah, LT.
I didn't look at the other ends, but LT edge, Overton was my
Princely Umalian, 24 hurries, 11 sacks, 11 hits. 90.9 pass rush grade, so he's definitely in the conversation.
I think
maybe this guy instead of Overton, because Overton hasn't had the stats that Princely has right now.
You're
so
right.
Let's go Princely.
That was a good one.
All right, so that is our mock draft there. So I'll just go over the top 10 real quick. Shedeur Sanders, number one to the Raiders. Number two, Cam Ward to the Giants. Number three, the Patriots take Teteroa McMillan. Four, the Panthers select Travis Hunter. Five, the Jags take Will Campbell. Six, the Titans take Abdul Carter. Seven, the Jets take Will Johnson. Eight, the Browns take Mason Graham. Nine, the Chicago Bears take Kelvin Banks Jr. And 10, the Bengals take Mykal Williams, the edge from Georgia. So pretty good pick there. Just kind of looking at this list here while I have it up. What was your favorite pick? Of this first round?
My number one pick is Shedeur to the Raiders. I don't think it should go no other way. It needs to be Shedeur. Outside of Shedeur, though, I will say, you said it, we're going top 10 or the whole overall?
The whole overall, yeah. What's your favorite pick?
Yeah, my favorite one overall. I was looking at that top 10 so heavy, bro.
I mean, mine's a top 10 pick. I would go Teteroa McMillan to the Patriots. I think that's just a
gift. I wanted to go
Tete May. That's going to be so good.
So I'm going to ask you this before we Travis or McMillan for the Patriots. Which one you think is the better pick?
I think they would probably go Travis Hunter.
I think they will, too, for namesake. I just don't think they're going to use him the way that we know he can be used. So instead of playing that back and forth game of should he play cornerback this play or receiver, just go Tet, man, and just do the damn thing. I would rather them take Tet. So yeah, I might be Tet is my favorite pick, but I'm gonna say Mbuka, man. I think Sean Payton can bring the best out of Mbuka, bro. He can be he can be their St. Brown over there in Denver.
I think my favorite defensive pick, I really would love to see Will Johnson and Sauce Gardner together as the outside corners. Like, I think that could be really special. But I do like this James Pierce to the Seahawks pick. I think that could be – I think with that Mike McDonald there in Seattle, I think he could get the best out of a James Pierce. So I really like that pick for Seattle too.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is a pick that I hate and I would not want to see. I might have to change my pick, E. My number one pick would be Tyler Warren to the Eagles, bro. I think that'd be crazy. Okay. I think that'd be crazy, man.
All right. Well, I'll make a copy of this and post it on the tweet here for for the podcast today, so if anybody wants to look at it. But yeah, pretty good stuff, man. So I enjoy doing that exercise with you. I'd like to kind of do that maybe once a month leading up to the draft, kind of mm-hmm. talk about some of the draft stuff. So that's really cool.
Yeah, man, I had to zoom in, man. My screen, I had to zoom in, because when you were sharing it, I only saw, like, it was so small. I had to
that's the only problem.
I know we on.
That's
video,
why I but, gave you the link if you wanted to follow along, so you could be easier to see. So,
hey, you know, I'm not. My brain don't click. My brain isn't linked, so I didn't even think to press the damn link.
Nah, you're good. You're good. All right, cool. We'll play America's favorite game. We'll get on out of here.
My man, let's go.
All right, so I was thinking about this one. So let's say, should have did this last week, but I did the solo show last week. Give me your favorite Black Friday shopping experience, or item you bought, or any story you got from Black Friday. If you ever, did you ever go Black Friday shopping?
I was just about to say, bro, my biggest ones are online. I don't go to no stores. So, okay.
All right. Like, well, tell me about your favorite purchase that you made on Black Friday before.
Because I was going to say, usually back when I was a kid and it was actually the store only the ladies really went. Like, we kind of stayed home and chill. So I never got to experience the headache of standing outside, or I just order it online and go pick it up or get it shipped to the house. So my favorite purchase. That's a good question. That was a big random question too, bro.
I throw it out there.
That's a good one. Sometimes I go overboard with it, bro. I say this: when I ordered my PlayStation 5, it came around Black Friday, so it wasn't a Black Friday purchase. It was a pre-order that came around it. But if I had to pick one, it's an Apple product. Let's just say that. Whether it's a cell phone, whether it's an iPad, MacBook, I always cop my Apple products on Black Friday. I can't give you one specific, but I can give you all of them. It's going to be, I'm buying something from Apple on Black Friday for sure.
I would say my favorite one was probably a TV that I got, probably like not this one that I had, and the one I have now is fucking phenomenal, but the one before that I had, it was like a 65 inch, barely fucking fit in my room. Like, there's no reason in hell I should have had a 65 inch TV in my room, but I did. It was like way too big for my room, but I didn't give a shit. So I got that. I had that for a while, but I had some problems with it. Like, the panel light would go out in the back, and I had to have the repair guy come out and fix it, and then it fucking just died one day. So yeah, it was a shitty Black Friday purchase, apparently, in hindsight. But I was like super hyped to get it. Like, it was one of those things where my mom just like brought it up to me. I'm like, I never really thought about it. I'm like, I could.
I might as well.
I didn't really think about it, but I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, I got excited for it, so I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna do that. But it, in the end, it kind of turned out shit. One other quick. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. I will say. So far, bro, I've struck gold on every TV I purchased, bro. All my TVs, for some reason, I still got a TV in here, a Philips TV that I had for like 12 years, and it's still pumping, still looking good, still looking crystal. So I haven't had one TV yet that I purchased that went out on me and went bad. So
yeah, this TV that I have now, I've had it for I think 2 years now. I bought it right before the NFL playoffs started. Two years ago now. Shout out to DB. He helped me pick this TV out. I mean, I saw this one in person. Mm-hmm. It was fucking amazing. So I still have it. It still looks amazing. So I love it. But no, my Black Friday story. So my first job, or one of my first jobs, was at Kmart. I don't know if you guys have those by you, but anyway.
Oh yeah, we don't have them no more, but we have.
No,
them.
they're gone now. I worked there, just doing like, it was like I started like in the summer-ish, and worked, you know, obviously into the winter holiday and stuff. So this would be my first Black Friday as a retail worker. So I actually worked like just kind of all over the place, but like I would say like couple weeks or month leading up to Black Friday, I worked, you know, in the toy department. So I was the one stocking all the toys and shit that we'd get in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, made the toy department look all nice before Black Friday, working the overnight shift. So whenever, whatever it was, 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., whatever time we opened.
Yeah.
I kind of, so the toy department was on the far right side of the store. So I kind of stood right in that walkway as the doors opened. And these people just fucking literally running towards the toy department.
Oh, yeah, they knocked all your shit over.
Like, and it just looked like a fucking bomb went off over there.
Yeah.
After, like, 5 minutes, I'm like, holy shit. So that was, like, my first, like, welcome to retail, buddy.
Yeah.
So
you looked at it smiling like I did all this work, and 2 minutes later.
They fucked it all up.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my little funny Black Friday story. So,
yeah, nah, I'm with you, bro. Yeah, man, I don't have, like I said, a big Black Friday experience. I just be laid back online shopping, bro. I go pick it up later.
They don't do it anymore, but because they're kind of obsolete. But I have a huge like Blu-ray DVD collection.
Yeah.
So I would go out every Black Friday and buy all these new movies for super cheap. They'd have like brand new movies for $9 and shit like that. But now they don't, these places really don't sell DVDs and Blu-rays anymore. Nah. So like those deals are kind of dead. But that was my one thing on Black Friday. I would take that Friday off of work and I would just go out to Targets and Best Buys and Walmarts and shit like that and just buy all my favorite movies for super cheap and add to my collection basically. So I have a monster collection over here of DVDs and Blu-rays and TV seasons and shit like that. But yeah, they're kind of obsolete now. But I did go Black Friday shopping this year. It's kind of like you just go and buy shit for yourself. Bought a few Christmas gifts and stuff. But China just got some new deals on stuff. Like I got a new winter coat and shit like that, you know, essential kind of shit that you need, and get a good deal on it while you're doing it. So it's nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't buy nothing that's essential. I'm just an idiot. So
yeah, I get it.
Yeah. You know, I'm tripping, but this year, next year I'm chilling, but this year I got everything I needed that I didn't need it. Got me a new iPad mini. So for no reason, but I got it. So now I can leave my big iPad Pro that's 12 inches over in the cut because a big stupid screen was so heavy to carry around for no reason, bro. So I got
they don't have Black Friday deals at the strip club for Fizz.
Nah, they do, but you gotta ask them for it.
That's great. All right, that's a good way to end the show. But appreciate you jumping on, Fizz, as always, man. Always good to talk to you. I'm sure we'll talk before the playoffs start here. We'll do another mock draft or something. So cool. I know we'll be doing mock draft Mondays here soon for South Harmon. I'm sure that's coming up too, so that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will put a suggestion in, man. Maybe one of these mock draft episodes of America's Game, you get EB on here, man. I know EB got the knowledge, bro. I would want to hear what he got to say sometime when it comes to college players, man. I try to see if I can get him to come on some shows. And he's like, yeah, buddy, probably won't happen. So I don't know, man. But maybe you can work your magic and get EB on one of these good old EB versus EV, man. Let's see that mock draft cracking, man. That's what I want to see, bro.
There you go. Yeah, I think I might ask Matt Bruning. Maybe he'll pop on here, too. I can see if I can reach out to him, see if he's able to do it. Matt's always got great knowledge from campus to Canton, too. So that's
a good one. Yeah, that is cool.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up, guys, for this one, episode 72. We'll be back next week for episode 73. See you later.